Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we have Dr. Linda Cheeks, founder of Doctors of Courage, a physician and patient advocacy group fighting for rights in the opioid epidemic and general healthcare fraud issues. So with that, I would like to welcome Dr. Cheek.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your creating this podcast and allowing Doctors of Courage to be a part of it. And we just hope that the word can get out to more and more people about what is going on in our justice system.
Sure. And in that vein, Dr. Cheek, would you mind telling the audience a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you started Doctors of Courage?
Sure. I'll give you a real quick summary. Being a doctor is actually my second career. I was actually a teacher for my first life. I've spent 20 years teaching because I was married to a military Air Force pilot. So I really didn't become a physician until age 45. And I chose to go to a rural area that was in need of medical service. And also in the process of after I graduated from medical school, figured out my first couple of years that conventional medicine doesn't cure anything. And so I started self-learning alternative medicine and actually started healing my patients, which that then became a thorn in the side of the area hospital system, which was in cahoots with the government. And I became a target because I did treat pain. I was able to substantiate and validate people's pain in ways that conventional doctors can't. And I used techniques to get them off their opioids and actually so that they were actually able to go back to work. I had people that were on disability be able to work two jobs. So basically, I became a thorn in the side of the government because I treated what I call the five areas of expendable people. And they didn't really like that. They just as soon see some people in this country dead as alive. And so I became a target. I was first targeted in 2006. I actually thought, like many doctors do, that if I take a plea, they'll leave me alone because they just were going to charge me with one crime of Medicare fraud, which wasn't true. But still, like most doctors, I still took the plea. But because I was able to go back to practice in a very short time, they targeted me again. And in 2012, through the prosecutorial misconduct that they're doing to all of us now, that they learned to do through the Enron situation in 2000, that they basically through lies, forced perjury, actually breaking the law themselves, they got me convicted, and also through the propaganda. That's what we're facing now, is the propaganda in every juror's mind that drugs cause addiction. And so with that, then I was convicted. I went to prison. I spent 26 months in two prisons, and then came out with the idea that I needed to do something to stop this gross, unconstitutional behavior of our government. So I created Doctors of Courage. It is for all people affected, doctors and patients. I simply used Doctors of Courage because I wanted to think of an acronym to stick in people's minds to bring them to the site. So DOC, DOC, and Doctors of Courage, then, is the acronym for the website. So that's the only reason why that is the name. We are an organization of both doctors and patients, and basically anyone, because everyone can be affected by this illegality of our government system now. So we hope to change that illegality. And in doing so, we hope to bring back a proper legal system in America.
Thank you, Dr. Cheek.
That was a good short version of my life.
that was perfect. So thank you, Dr. Cheek, for sharing that. Your story is certainly harrowing and one that a lot of people have derived inspiration from. So thank you for that. Just to clarify, the website is doctorsofcourage.org, doctorsofcourage.org. Just people know what you're referring to when you refer to DOC. Dr. Cheek, in establishing Doctors of Courage, you have been uniquely successful in bringing together physicians, pharmacists, and patients across the country. What is it about Doctors of Courage that has allowed you to be so successful? Is it the message behind the organization, or is it part of your own willingness to bring people together?
I think most of the time is that the message that goes out to people is that they are not the first, that what's happening to them when doctors get attacked, they start possibly Googling. And most of the time, because of the amount of views that Doctors of Courage gets, any doctor that's attacked is going to immediately bring up our website on a Google search. So I think they see through all the about 150 posts that I have put about doctors that have been attacked, and I have yet to find a single one that's actually done anything illegal or improper. And so I think they finally see, hey, I'm not the only one. I have had multiple doctors say that finding my website prevented them from committing suicide because they knew that they weren't the only one. But we do need more active doctors to get involved.
You know, Dr. Cheek, certainly you provide a sense of comfort to physicians in their most weak hours. So for that, you should be applauded immensely. Oftentimes, physicians are instructed by their attorneys or by other counsels not to get involved with other physicians or with Doctors of Courage, but you have a different message. You feel that physicians should be actively involved. How are you getting the message across to physicians who may be reluctant? And what benefit would physicians gain from connecting with Doctors of Courage?
Well, the message that I try to put out there is to show them the facts that doctors who become active and actually put out in the public that they are innocent and how they are innocent are actually the doctors that the government generally just kind of like drifts away from and leaves alone and starts targeting other physicians, or they just basically, you know, do not take them to trial. So it behooves the doctor to actually become public. The problem is that there are a lot of defense attorneys who will say, if you do that, I will not represent you. I had a defense attorney in my first case that was that way. And so that basically forces the doctor to keep his mouth shut. They need to find physician groups they need to find lawyer groups that do allow them to come out into the public and state their innocence. So, that's one of the problems that we face is the forcing of doctors to just sit in the other problem is they have no defense witnesses because they are not trained in what to do if this happens. That's one of the things that Doctors of Courage will be doing in the future is creating e-courses to help teach doctors before they get attacked what they need to do if they get attacked and how to prepare themselves. Because one of the problems what they have is they've got no one to testify for them because the government takes all of their employees, takes all of their patients and says, these are our witnesses, you can't communicate with them. And that leaves the doctor basically with no one. So we need to teach them how they can actually create their witnesses beforehand, and then the government can't come in and take everybody.
Yeah, Dr. Cheek, you mentioned quite a few important points that I just want to reiterate. You mentioned the importance of physicians becoming advocates, and you mentioned some of the techniques the prosecutors use to rob physicians of due process, which would include taking away their ability to garner witnesses. Can you explain a little bit on how Doctors of Courage can educate physicians on some of these commonly used tactics that may appear strange to the physician being targeted, but seem to be general course for prosecutors?
Well, that's going to probably be primarily using our e-course method so that we can actually bring people in without them actually being a known entity that they're in a group. This would be a closed group, a private group, and we would have means of using Zoom accounts and so on to basically just teach. And we also now have a lawyer involved in Doctors of Courage, so I would not be overstepping my bounds telling them what they could or couldn't do because I'm not a lawyer. But we now have lawyer capabilities in Doctors of Courage to give people proper legal advice. And so, you know, we hopefully will be able to teach all doctors that are treating pain, because every single one of them is a potential victim. We have had doctors that have been attacked for prescribing 2 Lortabs, which is the smallest dose of opioid available, 2 Lortabs per day to patients, which isn't even a standard maintenance dose. And they've been attacked for their prescribing. So every doctor prescribing pain, any controlled substance is a possible, possibly under attack. So we'll hopefully teach them through the e-course method how to protect themselves.
Certainly, I would recommend these e-courses to any physician who is at risk of being targeted or is currently being targeted by state or federal prosecutors. I think that Dr. Cheeks has done a wonderful job in amassing credibility over the past years. And I think that's an important point for people to understand. The concept of credibility is life or death for a physician who is indicted either at the state or federal level. Once that happens, a physician loses all credibility in the eyes of the public and in their patients. What do you do to combat that? I know you mentioned the e-courses, but there has to be some type of effective advocacy that you can impart upon physicians that work with you. Can you help us understand a little bit about the concept of credibility and how you try to instill that?
The main thing is, I believe, is to show people what the truth is and how the government is propagandizing and why they're propagandizing, and all of that is basically explained in my recording of the webinar that I do, which is on Doctors of Courage. It explains the history of how this is happening. It goes back all the way to early 1900s, and then works its way up through today. And basically, we just need to explain to everyone that the reason why the government is doing this, that it isn't because doctors are doing anything wrong, it's because with the Controlled Substance Act of 1970 and the Forfeiture Act of 1984, the doctors have become the easy low-hanging fruit for the government to substantiate their jobs as a result of the congressional hearing in 1999, that the Congress said to the DEA, you're not bringing home the bacon, so to speak. And so they turned the bacon into doctors, and now they're reaping the benefits, and they're confiscating all of their assets, and government is making money off of it. So, you know, till we do what we are hoping to do, which is show the unconstitutionality across the board of what the Justice Department is doing. They are rogue in more areas than just attacking doctors, because there are no checks and balances. And we hope to put that into fruition, that we do get some checks and balances on the Justice Department. And that, you know, that's basically what we need to teach the people. And it's only been in the last 20 years that the Justice Department has gone rogue. So most everyone thinks that they are still, that their primary goal is still justice, when it has not become justice anymore. And they are putting innocent people in prison for the money, for the jobs. And that has to become, we have to make Americans aware of that. That's the critical thing. It isn't so much a problem with just doctors.
I like what you correlated, doctors and bacon. I think that's something you should trademark. I found that quite funny. One thing you mentioned just now is the concept of prosecutors going rogue in recent years. You have been at this for quite some time and likely one of the original physicians to really turn into a successful advocate. What have you seen in the recent years that have accelerated the prosecution of physicians? Besides the broad trends of the opioid epidemic, what have you seen in terms of legal tactics that have accelerated the indictments and convictions of physicians?
They, first off, by using the forfeiture law, they put liens on everything a doctor owns that they're targeting, so that a doctor no longer has funds to defend themselves. That's number one. And that's something we can teach doctors, how to protect their assets, in through our e-courses. They do that, so then the doctor has nothing to defend themselves, and then they basically are, you know, they're easy to then force into a plea, because if you can't defend yourself, the only option you have is a public defender. And I, having been down that road myself, I will say that is my opinion, and this is purely my opinion, but it, from the experience that I've had, public defenders work for the government. They do not work for their client. I have had other people say that public defenders are better than prosecutors, and that might be the case in some cases. It was just not my experience. So, you know, the goal would be to, and I'm sorry, I've lost track of the question. Can you
sure, certainly. Bring it back? You know, you mentioned earlier about the Controlled Substance Act and about the Forfeiture Act, and you mentioned how prosecutors are going rogue in recent years. I think inherent in that statement is a lot of the procedural violations, the due process violations that seem to be accelerating against physicians. And I was hoping if you could just elaborate on that and provide some examples that you've seen from physicians that you work with.
Okay. One of the areas that they do is they actually track patients. This is especially done in the areas that are called the HIDA areas, HIDTA, high intensity drug trafficking areas. And what you actually, because law enforcement get a piece of the pie when the doctor's assets are divided up. So you have local law enforcement that keep track of doctors' patients. And this happened to me. They will actually stop the patient on the road and charge them with, you know, some small minimal crime, or just stop them on the road just to antagonize them. And then, of course, they'll say, well, can I look in your check in your car? And they don't have to even look in their car. They can find things that they can then say to the patient, we're going to charge you with distribution of controlled substances or possession with intent to distribute unless you testify against your doctor. And they will do it. Most people will testify against anybody if it saves themselves or their family. We actually have had doctors' spouses testify because the prosecution will take these people into interrogation areas and hold them there for hours and threaten them. If you don't lie, if you don't say what we want you to say on the witness stand, you will go to prison and you will never see your kids again. So even wives of doctors will testify against their husband because of the threat of never seeing their children again. It is just amazing what they do to break the law. Then, of course, and I can't understand how this happens. How can you have an agent go into a doctor's office, complain about pain? The doctor assesses the pain. He gives the agent an opioid for the pain. The agent then goes on the witness's stand and says, I didn't really have any pain. That prescription was illegal. And the jury buys that. I just don't understand how that is happening. Because the agent actually has lied and received an opioid illegally because he didn't have pain. So he's the one breaking the law, not the doctor assessing the problem. So that, and the interrogation, I had my nurse that was interrogated for 6 hours, and she was told, if you do not tell what we tell you to say on the witness stand, you will go to prison. She was unbelievable. She said, no, I will not do that. So they could not use her. They put her on the witness stand, but they just got her personal information. You're Dr. Cheek's nurse. Okay, bye. And she left the witness stand. So they still kept her as a witness, but she didn't, she couldn't really say anything. Luckily, they did not put her in prison like they threatened to. But most people will fall for that and cave in and testify to whatever they're told. So most prosecutors now are using what I call forced perjury for witnesses to put innocent people in prison. And this could be happening in other areas besides a doctor's, but of course I follow the cases on the doctors.
Yeah, Dr. Cheeks, what you're alluding to is something that's far more common and prevalent than most people would realize. You, more than most physicians, have seen this because you are often the point of support for many physicians who are being targeted. And when we talk to other physicians who are targeted and have experienced this. They all seem to tell the same story, like you're alluding to, of prosecutorial misconduct run rampant, yet it continues to persist. And everybody seems to have their own angle to justify or to understand what's going on and why it continues in this way. In your experience, which has the breadth of experience and of multiple physicians, why do you feel like this has been going on for so long and unchecked in the way that it is?
I believe that most Americans trust our government to do what is right. We have a history of 300 years and a constitution that shows that we are, as Zena Crenshaw and one of your podcasts said, we are the gold standard for a supposedly proper legal system. The fact that there are no checks and balances and the fact that there are unscrupulous people that are in the justice system that learned that they could attack people illegally. They did that through the Enron situation. They did that through the early attacks on doctors, such as Dr. Cecil Knox, such as Dr. William Hurwitz. And these were in Virginia. Virginia was like the start of everything. James Graves in Florida. They actually showed that they could get away with this. And they literally teach in the U.S. Attorney's Office now. They actually have conferences where they teach U.S. attorneys how to break the law to bring innocent people into incarceration. We've had mass incarcerations. When you look at the slides and the graphs of incarceration since the 1990s, the amount of incarcerations has just gone up exponentially. And what that does is supply people with jobs. It's all about money. It's all about jobs. It is not about justice. But the problem is American people are not aware of that. We need to bring that to the forefront. And we need to show American people that our justice system, because there are no checks and balances, because there is no oversight, that they are basically taking advantage of us and putting innocent people in prison.
Yeah, certainly. It's an incredible story that seems to be continued to slept on by the public, which is quite alarming. Dr. Cheek, can you provide some examples of successes that Doctors of Courage has had in getting the word out, in raising awareness?
It was even before my time, Dr. Ronald Myers, whom I have tremendous respect for, who actually is now deceased as a result of his attempts to take the word to the District of Columbia, to DC, to Congress. He actually started, and he was attacked in Roland, Oklahoma, but his case never went to trial because he was active, because he got out there and told people, "I am innocent," and he never did get attacked. He's no longer able to be an advocate, however, but we do hope to Doctors of Courage can take his name and bring his goals to completion. See some other Clarence Verdell. Dr. Verdell did become an advocate, and his sentence ended up being only one day in jail, and then he was released. So he was a success story. Trying to think, there are a lot of doctors out there that are still being attacked, like Mark Ibsen in Montana. He's still being attacked by the medical board, but he's been active now for years. And so they have not been able to be successful, and he's still able to practice. Trying to think, can you think of any? You probably have as many knowledge about this as I do.
There are certainly quite a few physicians, more than we would like to admit, because it really lends to a sad state of affairs that the legal system has imposed upon healthcare. As you know, Dr. Cheeks, one of the members of Doctors of Courage, Dr. Neil Anand, has been instrumental in aggregating a database and has compiled nearly 1,400 physicians, pharmacists, nurse practitioners, mid-level providers that have been attacked. And it just shows how prevalent of an issue this really is, and certainly something that lends to the importance of your cause. Dr. Cheeks, I want to kind of maybe transition a little bit and ask you about turning your advocacy into actual reform at the state or federal level. Say hypothetically, a senator, a representative, either at the state or federal level, were to approach you and ask you for your advice, ask you for how to reform the laws that are causing these abuses against physicians, what would you say and how would you contextualize your advice?
The main thing is that we need to do away with the Controlled Substance Act. The entire idea that drugs cause addiction was a pure political one back in the 1900s with a political person by the last name of Wright. And he basically created it against drugs so that America could become a world power. So it was all political in its start. No drug causes addiction. Then as the years progressed from the 1900s, they started attacking minorities simply because they wanted to disenfranchise them, put them in prison. Felons can't vote. So it eliminated, it was a Jim Crow thing. So Blacks were targeted for cocaine use. Orientals were targeted for opium use. There is no drug that causes addiction. The Controlled Substance Act was purely signed and created in the 1970s to be against the hippies and the anti-war activists. And so we need to do away with it. We need to recognize the fact that the war on drugs is actually worsening drug use because it puts drugs on the black market. And it's not doing any good. It's not they're not looking at the actual cause of addiction. So that is not being treated. Addiction is increasing, but there's really not an epidemic. That epidemic idea is simply a government propaganda in order to put doctors in prison. But yes, addiction is increasing because we are not looking at the real cause. And so if we can get away with a Controlled Substance Act, and this was actually started in the last congressional session by a New Jersey representative, Bonnie Coleman Norton, I think is her name. And she did a House Resolution 747 that literally would do away with the Controlled Substance Act, but it was a House resolution, which doesn't have any legal bite to it. So that needs to be turned into a bill. It needs to be passed by Congress, both House and Senate, signed by the president, and turned into law. The only problem with that is Biden is against any drug being legalized. He's against marijuana legalization, even though that's now widespread across the country because of his son being an addict. And we need to teach him what the real cause of addiction is. Then maybe his mind would be swayed in the right direction. So the whole idea of the propaganda that opioids cause addiction needs to be completely offset by the truth that no drug causes addiction. And then what is the real cause? And that is the one thing that I teach. And I also will have e-courses explaining that.
Certainly. And I believe the name is Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman from the 12th District of New Jersey. Dr. Cheeks, you more than any other physician seem to be best positioned to lead legislative reform. Do you find a receptive audience in Congress at the state level, or do you feel like we're still fighting an uphill battle? You seem to imply that there may be some favorable voices, as you had mentioned with Representative Coleman, but do you feel that by and large, we're still speaking to a tone deaf audience?
Correct. I've been doing this now for 5 years. I've been communicating with health staffers. I was a part of Dr. Meyer's patient advocacy week in Washington in 2018. We basically are up against a cold wall. I've tried to explain to them the truth and they seem to ignore it. Again, because most of them, I believe, are involved in the money aspects of maintaining our pharmaceutical control, type of medicine in this country and around the world. And they're just not willing to look at alternatives. And although the alternative world is growing, mainly because it helps people heal and doesn't just maintain disease. But I think our government is, as most, I think it's just human nature for people to be kind of stuck in a rut, and it's hard to get out of that rut. We just need more people telling them the truth. And the other thing, the main thing is, their incumbents continue to be reelected. 97% of our legislators get put back into office with each election. So if they're not doing what we want them to do, and we put them back into office, what is that telling them? You're doing a fine job, keep it up. What we need to do is we need to get the ones, especially the ones that are putting out anti-opioid propaganda, and get them fired and put in new people into those positions. And if they don't change the way Congress works, fire them. So on Doctors of Courage, I am actually putting information on the website that explains who in Congress is writing these horrific bills and who needs to be fired. But my guess is they won't be, because that's just the American way, as we keep putting these incumbents. And so it's just a revolving wheel. We're not going to change things until people start changing their behaviors. And that starts with us at home. We can't expect Congress to do something different if we don't do things different in our own communities.
Certainly, I think that change does begin from within. And I appreciate you sharing your experience on the legislative angle. Before we go, can you discuss a little bit more about Doctors of Courage and the e-courses? I know you had mentioned some of the courses that you had offered. Can you go into a little bit more detail on the type of courses and services in general offered through Doctors of Courage for the audience who may be interested in getting involved?
Yes, I sure can. First off, we have a membership. That membership is basically helping to support the website, and that's all it does. 100% goes to supporting the website, because as a physician that has had everything stripped from me by the government, I am literally destitute except for Social Security. So that's the membership. And then people who become a member will have free access to the courses once they've been a member for 6 months. Then the courses, they will, again, help us financially to send us to Washington to talk to the legislators, to get the word to them face-to-face, to take our petition there, and so on. So the e-courses that I'm offering, I'll be offering e-courses on the real cause of drug abuse. This one will be to teach America that the path that the government is taking us down is wrong. It will also help addicts to become free of their addictions. And it will basically show the world that the Controlled Substance Act and the war against drugs is purely a black hole that will never get filled. Then I will have courses on the true healing. Back in 50 years ago, there was not such a dependence on doctors. Now people have become so dependent on doctors, they don't know how to do anything for themselves. And I want to go back to teaching people how they have control of their health simply by their lifestyle and by what they do, and show them then how they can, again, completely heal simply by the use of alternatives that do not require conventional thought. Then I want to also, those are the two most important things to get out there to the public. But then for a temporary basis, we need to show doctors that are treating pain how to protect themselves. So I hope to do that through our legal resources, and then also just by showing them how to be active, all the different techniques that I did not know when I was attacked, that if I knew now, I would use. And I'll try to use that for doctors that are interested in protecting their assets and protecting themselves so that they have a means of defending themselves if they are attacked. So that's basically three of the areas. I will have other things also e-courses. I have not had these e-courses start yet. I do hope to start having sign up in the next couple of months and probably start the e-courses after the holidays.
Certainly, and I think that it's something that's well worth the wait, given the wisdom of your knowledge and your experience. So with that, Dr. Cheeks, I would like to thank you for your time and recommend that anybody who is interested in Doctors of Courage, please go onto the website, study the cases of physicians and patients who have been affected. Dr. Cheeks has done a wonderful job of amassing a knowledge base and is a wonderful resource for anybody who wants to learn more about the false policies perpetuating the opiate epidemic.
I would like to say one more thing, if I may, and that is you can do two things in your favor. If you go on the website and you go to any post that I have written, go to the bottom of the page of that post, and on my author box, there is a get my free gift. If you click on that free gift, you will get the automatic ebook of Using the Law Illegally Against Doctors, which basically teaches how they've used the Controlled Substance Act against us illegally. And secondly, it will put you on the Doctors of Courage mailing list so that you will get our newsletters. They will get any other information. You will get the information about the e-courses as they approach, and basically be in the loop, getting the information that we can provide you.
So thank you for that, Dr. Cheeks, and we look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.